Part of this faith, part of why we are here in the first place, is that we have this belief or knowledge, or maybe just for some of us, even just a suspicion, that there is something beyond this world. We know it in our hearts. We know that we are finite beings who yearn for the infinite, that we were created, but we long for the Creator. We long to love something and to belong to something and to be something that's bigger than ourselves. We know that there's something beyond this world. And that's in part what makes the first reading so wonderfully mysterious. The first reading is about the covenant between God and Abraham, and thereby Abraham's family and the people of Israel. God, he chooses for some reason to make a promise with man. It wasn't enough for him to be generous and create us. It wasn't enough for him to hold us into being and to make us intelligent and to make us loving and to make us good. But he wanted to make a promise with us. And that's not the same as a contract. It's more like a marriage. God, he comes to man and he says, I will bless you if you are faithful. Blessings with a glory beyond our understanding. You just have to be faithful. And if you're not, you'll be cursed. If you're not, if you choose anything other than me, you will not be happy. Because I define happiness. I define goodness. I define what true love is. And I promise you, if you are faithful, the glory will be yours. We know that it's something beyond. That God is pulling and pushing us towards something more than ourselves. That's why St. Paul says in the second reading that our citizenship is in heaven. Well, that's something we knew from the very beginning. There's always been something in us that yearned for that, that knew that this world would not be enough, that knew that our wants and desires were not enough, that knew that there had to be something more than just earthly food, that there had to be some kind of heavenly banquet to satisfy our desires. And we have yearned for it. And he tells us that as long as we don't settle for the cheap glory, for the tricks of this earth, then we will receive a heavenly glory, that we will be transformed in and by Jesus Christ. So today's gospel, the story of the transfiguration, when Jesus takes them up the mountaintop, he is transfigured. He has shown his true glory before the disciples, before the apostles. They finally understand who he really is, that he is more than just human, that he is more than just an earthly leader. They go up the mountaintop because it's a meeting place between God and man. It's a natural meeting place ascending to the heavens. And instead of that darkness that befell on Abraham in the first reading, it's a wandering, dazzling white light, revealing the true glory of God. Jesus shows that he's an image of the promise of the things to come. That what he shows right there in his glorified body, that's for you. That's for me. That is for us. That's part of the promise from the very beginning. He inherits that promise, the promise given to Abraham and Moses and Elijah and David and to all the people of Israel down to our present time. He inherits it. And he says that God was always faithful. God never left his people. God never stopped pulling and pushing and urging his people towards something higher. Glory was promised and glory is shown. And Peter sees it. Peter sees that glory and he wants to hold on to it right then and there. He wants to set up tents or tabernacles. And he wants to keep Jesus and Elijah and Moses there. But the beauty of the covenant is that it's a journey. The beauty of the covenant is that it's a battle, that we are promised to something higher, but it requires something of us. It requires us to move towards him, to be faithful, to not just move our feet and our hands, but our hearts, to move our minds to a greater understanding of God. And if we do, we will be glorified. This Lent, well, we have to be willing to move and let our hearts be moved by God. We can't settle for the earthly promises and the earthly goods when heaven hangs in the balance. A lot of us can fall into this trap of thinking that our life is about ourselves. We can think that our wants and our needs and our desires, that they define what this life is about. And my friends, that is a lie from hell. This life is defined by the love of God. It was the love of God that created you. It was the love of God that breathed life into you. It was the love of God that lets you live and to love and to chase after the good and to feel. The love of God defines everything we do and has to define every action and every word of our lives. The love of God, that word spoken from the very beginning, that word spoken in Jesus Christ, revealed in Jesus Christ from the very beginning, it calls us to the glory of heaven, a glory that is beyond our understanding. It is the promise spoken to Abraham. It is the promise spoken throughout time. It is the promise that leads us, that guides us, and is fulfilled here on this altar today. We just have to be faithful to it.